Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
Once again, I am marveling at your technological prowess, Rob.
Rob, that was pretty sweet. For those of you that are just tuning in without video, we're shooting this show live on a Tuesday afternoon, and Rob spliced the intro video and audio in with our live stream. It's the future. Speaking of the future and our quarterback of the future, Bryson Daly, Army is now 6-0. Gentlemen, we are bowl eligible. I'm not sure the last time, 1996 was the last time that we were bowl eligible this early. Crazy times. Guys, how are we doing? Army 6-0, leading the American, ranked number 23 in the AP poll. What? Wow. Dano?
Hi, man. I'm just happy to be here. Honestly, not to spoil the lead or anything, but if Army rushes for 400 yards this week against what I think is the best defense they will have faced by quite a lot, then I'll be ready to believe that they're really that good. And but this week is kind of a litmus test for me. Don't get me wrong, it's been awesome. You know, I've been at all the games at home, and it's been awesome. But dude, we're sort of in a make or break week, and I'm pretty excited to see how that's going to play out.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, Dan. I think we're going to learn a lot about our team this week. Rob?
Yeah, ECU has shown a lot of promise, and they've just been a couple plays away from having a much better record. So I think that's, you know, the concern is, you know, as these teams age throughout the season, they tend to get better. And so, yes, Army's improving week to week, but so is ECU.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. I think it'll be a tough contest. Their defense is solid. And they actually slowed Navy down a little bit as well. So it'll be interesting to see what actually happens when they face the Black Knights.
Yes, it will. James?
I think we're still going to the Super Bowl this year, so I don't know why you guys are so worried.
Look at James the optimist. This is a whole new James this season. I love it. I love it. Speaking of things that are completely new, we have a new sponsor, Rob. Why don't you tell us about Jocelyn Bradley?
Yeah, so if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know that we have a sponsor here. Her name is Jocelyn Bradley. If you're PCSing to the Fort Liberty area, she is the realtor for you. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her career in logistics. There, she discovered a passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream home when they're in the market, and she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn has an extended network of veteran realtors who can support you if you're moving somewhere else in the country. So if you're in the market or need a referral for a home, Jocelyn should be your first call. She's decided to support us this season at Ask for Football, and she's the right person to get you into the home of your dreams. So all you have to do is go to the Ask for Football website, click on the business card on the side of the screen, and you'll go straight to her website, and you'll be talking to her shortly, and she can get you on your way. Thanks.
Thanks, Rob. So Army beat the crap out of UAB this past week, 44-10. Really, the game stayed competitive for about five plays. Army defense got a stop on downs inside UAB territory to start the first quarter. Interesting note on that, we're seeing more and more teams take very risky fourth downs against Army because they're so scared from a time of possession standpoint that they won't get the ball. So I think that's interesting that, you know, teams are adjusting their game plan so much around that kind of statistic. Bryson Daly took a 34-yard quarterback zone run outside for a touchdown, threw probably the best stiff arm of the entire college football season in the process. I know it was all over ESPN Saturday and Sunday. It's been all over Twitter. Just stuff somebody in the ground. It was beautiful. And UAB never really recovered from that. Army rolled to victory. And then we started rolling backups midway through the third quarter. Offensively, 515 yards. That's kind of become the norm this season. 413 yards rushing, 7.4 yards per carry, 5 rushing touchdowns, 102 yards passing on 3 completions, 1 passing touchdown. You know, the stat line for passing touchdowns does not, or should be for passing, does not show how good we were passing. You know, Daly went 3 for 7. Four of those were kind of garbage time, end of the first half, you know, just trying to see what was out there. When we deliberately threw, he went 3 for 3 and had that touchdown. Daly also had 12 carries, 134 yards, 4 touchdowns. It felt like he had his hands in pretty much every play, but he really only had about 20% of the offensive carries, and he broke a lot of long runs. All three quarterbacks together only carried 35%. So it was not quarterback power. And I think we talked a couple weeks ago about concerns about, hey, is Daly going to carry the ball too much? Is he going to get injured? And, you know, the fact that he's only carrying 20%, he's not carrying it as much as I think people think he is. Kanye Udo played really well in this game, 17 carries, 97 yards, great blocks out in space. Casey Reynolds, 2 catches, 84 yards, and a touchdown. One outstanding catch on a 50-50 ball that Daly threw down the sideline. The other was a, you know, in-stride Army touchdown, and then just missed the second touchdown as time expired in the first half. Defensively, stonewalled UAB. It helped that the Blazers, you know, came in trying to throw all over the field. Jalen Kitna is not very great as a person or as a football player. UAB really didn't try to feed Lee Bebe.
Bebe.
Junior until the third quarter. We only allowed 303 yards of total offense, 61 yards rushing on 2.5 yards per carry. UAB finished 5 for 13 on third down, 1 for 3 on fourth down. And I just, you know, that 303 yards of total offense, that's over the whole game. We had backups in for half of the game. And I think we had the third or the fourth string in for the fourth quarter. So defense did really good, forced 3 punts, 2 interceptions. UAB really only had 1 good drive all game. And you know, you really just you're reading these stat lines, 6 tackles, 5 tackles, 3 solo, tackle for loss, 4 tackles, you know, Brett Garina, 4 tackles, 3 solo, Casey Larkin, 2 tackles, 1 solo, and 2 picks, Max DiDomenico, 1 tackle. We think they pulled him early. I know he had a hand issue, but overall, just defense was all over the place. And then on special teams, James Wagenseller punted twice, landed both inside the 20 again. Trey Grenette, 4 extra points and a 23-yard field goal. Dawson Jones made an extra point as well. Really the only bad thing that happened all game from a special teams perspective was that failed 2-point conversion. Not sure what they saw there, but they went for it and it didn't work out. So overall, really dominant performance. Rob, watching the game, kind of doing your analysis, what was your takeaway from this win against UAB?
All right, so the first thing is it was a quality win. You know, complimentary football across the board. Like you said, there wasn't a lot of disparity in any position. I know that Coach Monken will find something to talk about. And, I mean, he said as much at his post-game interview. He's like, yeah, there's little things that I still want to clean up, and it kind of bothers me. I shouldn't let it bother me, but it does. You know, and so that's just – Coach Monken being Coach Monken. But I think the biggest thing is, you know, confidence is now starting to build. Like, if they weren't confident before, it is now. You know, and everybody that has watched college football, or particularly Army for the last few years, playing Army at Mikey Stadium makes it that much more challenging. So I think, you know, Army has a great opportunity in front of them. My main thing is, like, don't start reading your news clippings too soon. You know, yes, you're bowl eligible. Yes, you have some great things going for the team, which I completely appreciate. But the other part of it is if you start reading your own headlines, that's when somebody's going to sneak up on you, and you're going to have a much tougher game. You know, and I think ECU is an opponent. Like, this is a trap game. You know, guys that aren't playing well, can put it together, just had a big blowout win. Like, if you sleepwalk, you know, this game could be a lot closer than the experts think.
Yeah. Dan, do you agree with Rob on that?
I mean, listen, it was a great win. It's awesome to get a good win. They got the starters out of there by the midway through the third quarter. Got to see my buddy's kid play 2 full series as a plebe, which was nuts. So, yeah, that stuff is all awesome. But, no, man, UAB is truly awful. Jalen Kitna is – I don't want to disparage the man, but, I mean, he had guys open all over the place, and he just could not complete short passes. Most of his throws were behind his receivers. The ones that were on target got dropped. He bounced a few. Like, Army's a good team, don't get me wrong, but that was bad football. Like, that was bad football out there. And commentary talking about Jalen Kitna as a quote NFL level talent. I mean, come on. I do understand his father played in the NFL. I don't wish the guy anything but the best, but Jesus. And also UAB abandoning the run game and letting Kitna throw all over the place when he's a sub 50% completion percentage passer. Like, what is that about? BB Jr. is their best player. He got the ball like 11 times. You know, I don't know what those guys were doing. I thought Tulsa got blown out, but I thought they at least came in with a plan. Like what they did was smart. It just didn't work because Army's a better team. These guys, that's not a good team. And that plan was nuts. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. James, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, like Dan said, it's hard to take anything from this game. Red zone defense seemed to continue to find a way. Yeah. The backups late let in a score, but I mean, that's about it. The only real takeaway I think is, man, he seems to be a good field goal kicker so far. He's obviously perfect on extra points and field goals, although he hasn't really been tested in length, but we got to get somebody for these kickoffs. I mean, when he's going into the wind, they all drop at like the 10-yard line. So I don't know if they can get somebody, you know, a goalie off the soccer team or what. The sprint football kicker seems to have be, you know, kicking it through the end zone on most plays. So I don't know what it is, but we got to get somebody for kickoffs that's got the length on the leg. As far as externals go, like it's a fine line to walk for Coach Monken, right? You have to be out there in social media, right? Like we can't pretend like the public image doesn't play into this last playoff spot, because it absolutely does. But at the same time, you have to keep all that out of the locker room, and that's a hard ask.
Yeah, it's honestly kind of weird, because for the longest time, you know, you tell people you're an Army fan and they go, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Like, y'all's football team sucks. Now, all of a sudden, we're getting talked about on ESPN 7 days a week. And, you know, there are multiple people who have us getting that 12th, you know, playoff spot. And we have a 40% chance to, you know, beat Ohio State or whatever it might be. And it's like, this is kind of weird, you know. And I like to act like I've been somewhere before, but like, we've never really been here before. So like, how do you navigate that? So, you know, I can only imagine what Munkin's trying to do. And on the one hand, yeah, UAB is an absolutely terrible team. On the other hand, we've curb stomped everybody we've played this year. So I don't know. It's kind of a weird place to be. And, you know, to your point, James, it's hard to really take some stuff away, because we've seen good, consistent Army play all season, but it's been against subpar teams. So how is the team going to kind of hold up against a little bit better of a team? We're going to find out this week against ECU. I would not call them a very good football team either, but I think they're probably better than UAB or, you know, maybe even Rice. So I don't know. It's weird. I want to be excited. I am excited. It's great that we're ranked. On the other hand, it's like, well, there's still a lot of football to be played. We got 7 more games, you know, to kind of define this season. So it, you know, we'll see what happens. So let's review our fact or fiction from last week. Rob said Army has 200-yard rushers. That's fiction. They pulled Udo at 97. Dan
Which
said,
was a crime. That was a crime.
It is.
I mean, let my man do one more run.
Mm-hmm. Dan said Army throws 0 passes this week. That was fiction. Dan, we told you that was fiction, but whatever.
They didn't need to pass. They just chose to pass.
Trigger Joe said there's a defensive touchdown. That was fiction. 3 sacks and 2 picks, but no defensive TD. And the first two club suggestion was short goes 100 and 100. That was fiction. He had a couple long runs, but had just 42 yards total and no catches. Let's talk rankings. We kind of alluded to it. In the AP poll, Army's 23. Navy, who had a bye this week, is 25. The coaches poll, Army is 24. ESPN SM Plus, Army is 53. For comparison, that's really close to where we finished the 2018 season. Memphis, 67. Tulane is 73. Navy is 70. Excuse me, Tulane is 70. Navy is 73. In the FPI, Army is 51. Tulane is 54. Memphis, 62. Navy, 71. In the Massey, Army's 48. In the Massey Composite, Army's 28. Like I said, it's exciting to be ranked. I love that we're ranked. I love the stat lines that we've seen of, you know, last time Army and Navy were both ranked was, you know, I love all that. I think that's fantastic. Do we think Army is really this good? And I realize this is controversial, but we're all fans. Let's just have a moment of honesty here. Dan, is Army really that good?
I mean, it's really hard to say that they're not because no one has pushed this team yet. The starters have played one actual complete game all season. But, you know, Rice beat UTSA. We said that they might be a better team than we thought. They look like they suddenly might actually be a better team than at least the total cellar dweller that they looked like at Mikey Stadium. You know, FAU hung with and really should have beaten North Texas. We've been expecting them to come around for a while. You know, Temple hung with and really should have beaten UConn. I think Temple might actually come around, too. Like, I'm not saying that these teams are great. I'm not even sure that any of them are going bowling. FAU probably has the best chance, but you know, Army has kicked the crap out of these teams and they are not getting their asses kicked that badly by other teams in the American. So I think that's worth something. That's kind of where SP Plus is hanging its hat right now. And SP Plus is at least using the numbers and not so much the eye test.
Yeah. So we got a question for you, Dan. Corey in the Firsty Club wants to know, how does this 2024 Army team compare to the 1944-1945 Army teams when you were at the Academy?
Yeah, they're not as good. Sorry.
That's coming from a guy who saw it firsthand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rob, is Army this good? Are we the 23rd best team in the nation, or are we ranked above Michigan?
Here's what I'll say. You know, if you watch and listen to Roundtable at all, you know that we go through the top 25 slaughter every week. You know, 34 position changes already have happened this season in the top 25. So, you know, it's a blessing and a curse, right? Because as soon as you get that ranking, that means people are going to be gunning for you. There's enough teams out there that, you know, want to shoot their shot against Army and, you know, bump them out of the top 25. And so it's a good thing that you're ranked because it actually lends credibility on the national stage. But, you know, the downside of it is you got a target on your back. I mean, look at how far Georgia fell after, you know, losing to Alabama. Look at how Alabama fell, you know, after losing to Vanderbilt. And so when you're in those ranked positions, everybody's gunning for you, regardless if you know it or not. And so you see the actions of Tulane, like, hey, we're going to hang 71 points on UAB. Why? Because we can. You know, and so you're going to start to see a lot of that. And there's a, you know, it's a bitter pill because you can, you know, overextend yourself trying to score a whole bunch of points to keep yourself in the national conversation, or you can just win the game. And, you know, there's a delicate balance between those two things. Great that they're ranked, but again, don't start reading your own headlines because at the end of the day, you know, you want to have a winning record, go to a bowl and have a chance for a playoff slot. And, you know, individual accolades are good. But, you know, I think all things being considered, you know, the one award that is being looked at for Army right now that I'm really happy with is like our offensive line is the best offensive line in the country. Everybody's saying that. And that's something to be proud of because collectively that unit is doing a great job. And I think that's where I'll stand on it is like I'd rather see group success rather than individual success. But I think it's just a you know, rankings are exactly what they are. You know, they change from week to week.
100%. And, you know, Rob, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. You talk about a playoff spot, like beat Navy. That is the goal of, at least for me, of the season. You know, obviously, yes, if we can go to a bowl game, that's great. If we can get a playoff slot, you know, that's once in a lifetime. That's fantastic. But, you know, what happens on December 14th, I think, is more important than any of that, at least to me.
I'm at the point of wondering if the conference championship game is going to be a distraction from the Army-Navy game, which I realize is a nutso way to look at it.
I know. It's a weird, like, first-rule problem to have. We have to play Navy twice. Like,
when they said, oh, you know, if Army has to play in the conference championship game the week before Army-Navy, I was like, not sure.
Problem. Don't worry about it.
Sure, whatever. Cool. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. James, you're quiet over there. What are you thinking?
Yeah, so there's a huge difference, right, between last time Army was ranked as 2020, weird situation early in the year. The AP poll wouldn't rank teams that hadn't played yet because it was the COVID season and everything. But 2018 was the last time we were really ranked. And we finished the season, I think we were ranked 19th. The question is, would they have really have beaten the 20th best team in the country, or was it a function of them being 11-2 and being on an 8-game win streak to close out the season, right? And you look at those games, and I'm going to read you some of the scores, right? They beat Hawaii by 7 at home.
Hawaii was good that year, though. That was a good Hawaii team.
The current team would have beaten – the current Army team would have beaten that Hawaii team by a lot more than 7 at home.
All right.
Miami was an overtime – Miami of Ohio was an overtime one-point win on a missed extra point.
Backup quarterback in that game.
Lafayette was 31-13 at home. Colgate was 28-14 at home. Bad Patriot League teams that year. Like
Colgate was good that year, actually. Sorry, I don't mean to be. Contrary, 28 but...
points against an FCS team. Lehigh's right. Doing well this year, and they scored 42 points.
All right.
The optimist over here needs to spin the room a little bit. The point is they're winning these games. They're not just on a 6-game win streak for this year, right? They're not getting ranked just because they're 6-0. They're winning these games as if they're a top 25 team. I would expect Michigan to go out there tomorrow and beat, Rice 37-10 or however they beat Rice 37-4, for whatever the final score of that game was, right? That's about the score I'd expect for Michigan. That's about the score I'd expect for Illinois. Right. Like all of these games, are they beating these teams like a top 10 team would beat them? No. But are they beating them like a top 25 team would beat them? Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I wouldn't have necessarily said that in 2018. And I think that's clearly the case this year.
That's valid. Yeah, James, when you put it like that, are we beating people like Alabama or Georgia? No. But are we beating people like the 19th best team? Yeah. Okay, I'll buy that for a dollar, James. Dan, you look skeptical.
It's true. I've heard this argument. James and I were talking about this yesterday when we were setting up yesterday's show and talking about how this is going to work out. And it's not that I disagree. I want to see them play better teams, and I want to see how they do, and then I'm going to feel better about it. I really do think ECU has a good rushing defense. So depending on how things play out, I feel like we're going to actually learn something this week that we haven't learned. And I'll just shut up at that point.
Yeah. It's interesting because, I remember, 4 or 5 years ago before the SEC, kind of got turned on its head a little bit, but Alabama would always be ranked. And it's, well, who the hell is Alabama play? They played Arkansas and they played Vanderbilt and they played two FCS teams and this and that. They haven't played anybody until they, go to play Auburn or they go to play Georgia. And that's always, I feel like, the argument of why, they shouldn't be right. They haven't played anybody. It's like, well, they play who's on their schedule, and isn't that enough? I don't know. I realize I'm kind of talking out of the other side of my mouth right now. But like I said, this is a little uncharted territory for us Army fans in a good way. So we've been speaking of uncharted territory. If you're going to buy a home – and you haven't done it before, it's been a while, or the world's crazy out there, think about financing through Craig Oxen. He's the VP of Residential Lending for New American Funding in Chicago, class of 94, lends in all 50 states. One of the most significant VA lenders in the country, super competitive rates. Bottom line, he has great rates. He doesn't charge lender's fees for veterans. And he's someone who's going to be on your side, making sure that you get the best deal possible. He's going to help navigate you through that program and be that trusted advisor. So if you're concerned, nervous, don't really know what's going on with all these rates fluctuating all over the place, Craig's someone who's going to help kind of cut through that noise and streamline that process for you. All right. We've been dancing around it all day. Let's talk about ECU. ECU is about as talented as every other team in the American Conference, but they've played super erratically this season. They beat Norfolk State 42-3, beat Old Dominion 20-14, lost in a heartbreaker at home to App State 21-19. I saw App State is getting ranked in the bottom 25. lost at Liberty 25-24. They came back to beat UTSA at home 30-20 and then lost at Charlotte 55-24. Staff got out of hand. Excuse me, the game got out of hand after the staff started pulling quarterback Jake Garcia for throwing too many picks. They're now 3-3, and it's just weird. They're coming to Mikey off a bye. We've seen them do great. We've seen them do terrible. I think it's going to be kind of a factor of what team shows up this week. Dan, offensively, can you break it down for us?
Yeah. If there's a problem here, the problem is the offense. ECU runs this insane read option hurry up that's like very similar to what Tennessee does on offense. But unfortunately, the Pirates just don't have Tennessee's talent. I mean, they just don't. So they hurry themselves into a lot of mistakes. I mean, a ton. And they also wind up leaving their defense on the field for insane amounts of time with, you know, bunches of super fast three and outs littered all over the game. So with that, they're averaging just 24 minutes time of possession per game, which is second to last in the FBS. But when their offense is clicking, it's all but unstoppable. It's just super complicated, and they make a ton of mistakes, draw a ton of penalties, and they go three and out a lot. But when they do hit stuff, my God, they look like world beaters. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. It's start and stop, but when they put it in gear, it really goes. Quarterback Jake Garcia is 109 of 181 passing this season for 1,400 yards, about a 60% completion percentage passer, 8 touchdowns against 12 interceptions and 12 sacks. Honestly, I think those interceptions are coming because they're just rushing the guy. After adjusting for sack yardage, he's also run 22 times for 108 yards and 2 touchdowns, about 4 yards per carry. The dude can absolutely be a great quarterback. However, he can also very much be a turnover machine who takes too many sacks. But, and I just can't say this with enough emphasis, he is emphatically the best quarterback that they had. They brought in Katin Hauser, the backup against Charlotte, who was a team that they really should have beaten pretty handily. And that dude went 14 of 31 passing, 134 yards, no touchdowns, 1 pick, and 2 sacks. Like, he was awful. So that was just a terrible idea. Running back Rahajay Harris, 100 carries for 400 yards, 3 rushing touchdowns, 6 catches for 27 yards. They probably need to give that guy the ball a little more, especially because they're trying to hurry up so damn fast. And then they've got 3 receivers who all get the ball quite a bit. Wide receiver Chase Soule leads the team in receiving yards with almost 300. And wide receiver Winston Wright Jr. has the most catches on the team with 25 plus 2 receiving touchdowns. And oh, by the way, they throw to their 2 tight ends quite a bit as well. So 5 dudes get the ball a decent amount through the air.
Rob, what's up on defense?
All right, so let's talk about the defense. Until the Charlotte game, I would say that these guys had a pretty decent rushing defense. Charlotte ran for 311 yards and 6 yards per carry. The 49ers put up 517 yards of total offense. So even that being said, ECU only allows 148.5 yards rushing per game and about 3.5 yards per carry. They are 62nd ranked on third down defense, only allowing 37.4%. On top of that, they have ball hawking defense, so they're going to get after the ball. They have 7 interceptions, 5 forced fumbles, 5 fumble recoveries, 14 sacks. They're at a -6 turnover ratio despite having lost 5 fumbles and 13 interceptions on offense. Safety Omar Rogers has 42 tackles, 19 solos, 1 pass defended, 1 interception. Linebackers Zach Barker and Mike Edwards are up next, respectively, with 40 and 37 tackles, and each guys have 14 solo tackles. They have 1.5 sacks collectively. Notably, their linebackers and DBs are making all the tackles, not so much on their D-line. With the kind of offense this team runs, the defense is on the field a lot. By that, they're getting smoked and blown out towards the end of the games, and that's what happened against Charlotte. Most of the time, these guys are very good, especially against the run, but again, it's counterintuitive, right? You want to get your defense off the field because of the way that the offense runs. They're constantly on the field, so it puts them at jeopardy. And, oh, by the way, you know, depending upon weather conditions, et cetera, like, your team is fatigued going into the second half of the ball game. You can't recover at halftime enough to make the correct adjustments as well as continue to put pressure on the opposing team.
Thanks, Rob. James, why don't you take us through special teams?
All right, Mike Houston, I want to extend a personal thank you to for recruiting specialists with names that I can pronounce. So place kicker Noah Perez started the last 2 games after starting the season as the backup. He is a transfer from the University of Akron. He's 6-6 on extra points. He is 4-4 on field goals with a long of 42 yards. It's also his career long. So I'd expect, you know, four down territory in that, you know, 25-yard line to 40-yard line area of the field. Punter Luke Larson has 10 punts in the last two games, two of them inside the 20, and he averages about 40 yards a punt. So about on par with James Wagenseller from Army.
Good deal. I believe they've had a couple blocked too.
They've had two blocked. Yes.
Yeah.
Army open is a 13.5-point favorite. Slid to Army minus 17. Over-under started at 51.5, is now 52.5. Expect similar weather to this past week. Sunny, temps in the lower 70s, chillier for the pregame tailgates, and the game will be on ESPN2, not CBS Sports. So I think there was a swap with an away game that was on CBS, and now this one's going to be on ESPN. So don't go to CBS Sports. Go to ESPN2. Guys, we've already touched on it, but takes on the game. Rob, we'll start with you.
Yeah. So, you know, given the fact that both defenses are probably going to be on the field a lot more this game, I think whichever team makes a critical stop or takeaway is probably going to end up winning this one. Both defenses are good against the run, but again, whoever gets that big play is going to come out on top. I think swing passes and fullback passes are going to be nice to see. I think explosive yardage is going to be the thing. ECU is trying to get those big explosive plays. Army has been getting them all season, and a lot of them have been coming through the run game, which is kind of counterintuitive because you're used to seeing a, you know, 20, 25 yard pass and somebody going down the field, you know, and we have those as well. So, you know, explosive plays for Army is going to be the difference, but in between those moments of like a big sprint, 20, 25 yard play, how do you control the ball to put more pressure on the ECU offense, right? Because the offense is already kind of scatterbrained. And if they're behind on the sticks and then they're behind on points, the chances of them throwing a critical interception or losing the ball are greater. So I think this will be a competitive contest just because how good their defense is against the run. But it'll be interesting to see what Coach Worley cooks up on the offensive side or add some new wrinkles to the playbook going into this game.
Dano, you're a bit of a skeptic. What's your analysis?
I just think it's going to be a close game. I mean, ECU has exactly the kind of problems on offense that you really don't want to have against Army's defense, but they also match up very well on defense against what Army's specifically trying to do on offense. You know, Army has scored on their first drive, every drive, you know, in every game this season, and they've mostly scored on their second drive. I think the Pirates have more of a chance to stop them early than probably any other team that we've seen them play, but I also don't necessarily think that's going to be easy, and especially early. Like, let me put it to you this way. I think Army starters are going to play the whole game this week, and I think if Army pulls away and establishes separation, it'll be later in the game when that ECU defense has been out there for a while.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're taking the under. James, are you taking the over?
I wouldn't say that. I got sort of three keys I'm looking at this game. So number one is the yards per carry, right? This is the best yards per carry defense we've faced. If you want to get into the nitty gritty of the stats, go check out the preview. I won't bore everyone here. But I think the litmus test is Army getting 5 yards a carry, more than or less than 5 yards a carry. If they're getting more than 5 yards a carry, they're not going to have to rely on that passing game. If they're getting fewer than 5 yards per carry, there's going to be some times where they need to pass, and this is not the defense to want to need to pass against. I agree with Dan. I don't think this is going to be a blowout. I think the starters are going to be in most of the game. As far as like a game, overture I'm looking for, I'm just looking for game control, right? ESPN yeah. has that stat on game control. If this is a one touchdown game and Army had to come back to win, or it was sort of like Army was a touchdown up or tied the whole game and they win by a touchdown or by 3 points or whatever, I'll be pretty nervous and I'll think that, okay, maybe what I said about their ranking isn't as true. But if this is a Army's up by 2 to 3 touchdowns the entire game and ECU squeaks in a couple in garbage time and Army wins by a score, you know, I'll be very happy with the performance. So it's not so much the final spread that I'm looking at. I want to know how much of the game are they in control of. And then a huge part of that, talking to what Rob was speaking about a second ago is, man, these guys love chunk plays. Between 12 and 25 yards is their – that's just their zone. They get some like really big plays, especially on the ground. But they're not passing for, 60 plus yards very often. But they love these chunk plays. So bend, don't break, got to be in full effect, right? Last game, there wasn't a lot of bending. It was just straight breaking, breaking of the offense that was. Mm-hmm. And in this game, I think they're going to need to utilize that bend, don't break. They're going to kind of have to revert back to it a little bit. Last two games, Tulsa, they really didn't have a lot of bending. UAB really didn't have a lot of bending. They're going to have to be okay with that. They're going to have to work on that. And part of that, I think, is you have to have soft coverage, but you have to have your line in the sand too. Like if their chunk plays that they're getting are 12 yards, they can live with that, right? You can get a couple of incompletions or stop a run and give up, and stop drives and give up a 12-yard pass. But if their chunk plays that they're getting are consistently 20 to 25 yards, that's going to be a liability. So soft coverage, yes, but a hard line in the sand. You got to say, hey, if you're just going to berate me all day with 20-yard passes, I'm going to play a little bit closer around there and maybe risk that long play a little bit. But you can't let these 20 to 25-yard chunk plays, just happen all over the field all day.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think, one, it's going to be interesting to see what ECU team shows up. But two, Dan, to your point, I do think they match up well, playing devil's advocate a little bit against us. So I think the starters are going to play for at least three quarters. And I think this will be an opportunity for us to kind of overcome some adversity. And I don't mean that in like a sarcastic or a snarky way, but, there's been a lot of Army teams that have had to climb out of a hole, and they've been in a dogfight the entire game. And, it literally comes down to who's holding the ball last. And, I remember the Air Force game a couple of years ago, and it was, hey, Air Force has come back, and we got to convert on fourth and one on our side of the field to win this football game. Like, we haven't had that this year. And I know a lot of the seniors, a lot of the leaders on this team have done that, but we haven't done it this year. And I'm not saying I want a nail biter, but I think a little adversity would not be the worst thing in the world, especially as this team kind of gets some aspirations. The first time we get punched in the mouth, I don't want that to be against Notre Dame. I'd like to have a little sparring match before we go out against the Irish, but that's just me. Any more thoughts on the game, thoughts on the matchup?
I'm excited to see a better team come into Mikey Stadium this season. I mean, this was one that when it got announced, I was really excited about it because ECU is one of those teams that don't get me wrong, they're up and down a lot over the past few years, but Rob on Roundtable was talking about them in the offseason, like, watch out for ECU. Like, they have as much talent as anybody in the American Athletic Conference. They haven't put it together, and they're not alone in that, in the AAC. I mean, it seems like half these teams have a ton of talent that they can't quite get to mesh. But this team, they really are – they have all the pieces they need to be great. They just, shoot themselves in the foot. If they put together a complete game and they don't shoot themselves in the foot, then this is a dogfight. I mean, this is really going to be a dogfight.
Yeah. We'll see. All right. Hey, let's do our fact or fiction for this week.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
James, I believe you're up first.
All right. So if you look at the betting lines and the total, it projects a score of 33.5 to 18. If you subtract those out or divide those out, excuse me. So 33.5 over under for Army.
Say that one more time, James. Sorry.
So I'll just say Army scores more than 33.5 points.
Wow. That's a good one. I guess I'll say fact. I don't feel super comfortable about it. I mean, if that one turns out to be fiction, I'm not going to cry into my milk tomorrow.
Yeah.
What would make you cry into your milk tomorrow, Dana?
A loss.
Fair. I'm going to go fiction. I think we'll probably score 28.
All right. I'm going to go fiction 28-14.
All right. I guess I'm going to go fact as well. I'll join Dan.
It really is like the litmus test. Like, do you believe that this team is as good as ESPN wants you to believe they are?
I mean, 33.5 points. I think they can score 5 touchdowns against ECU. Like, I think it's very doable.
I mean, absolutely it's doable. I mean, yeah. Listen, Charlotte hung 50 on these dudes, and I think Army would beat Charlotte. So there are a lot of crazy crap that went on in that game, but still.
Here's the other thing, right, that could help Army get there. And this is, you're right, the litmus test. I don't expect ECU's offense to spend a lot of time on the field,
if
they are successful. So there's going to be ample opportunity for Army's offense to score. It's just whether or not they're going to do it.
Yeah. That's fair.
That's fair. All right. So my fact or fiction, Bryson Daly throws 2 TD passes this week.
Fiction. No way. Sorry. Veto.
Dan, the pessimist. I'm going to agree with
you. Who's a pessimist? I'm not even running the damn ball.
I think it's going to be fiction. I think we're going to run the ball quite a bit.
James?
Yeah, I'm going fiction. No way.
I'm going to say fact. They're going to work into swing passes this week, and that's where they're going to come in. It's not going to be like an over-the-top ball. It's going to be like a short screen to Noah Short, and he's going to break loose for one, and then one to Udo.
I'd like to see Noah Short have one of those 100 and 100 games, just so, you know, we could be like, yeah, we got one too. Thanks.
Yeah, for sure. Fair point.
Well, that's going to be hard to do now that, I don't know, did we talk about this while I was gone? The two deep on the roster? You're
talking about T-Rob?
T-Rob.
Yeah, go ahead. No, we didn't talk about it.
So he's listed now. The two deep is released by the athletics communication staff, not by the coaches. So, you know, grain of salt, but T-Rob's back on the depth chart for this week. Obviously, huge, huge key there. Now you get a second perimeter threat that's fast, right? You get that second burner. I don't know if he's as fast as Noah Short. I imagine it's about there. But you get a second burner. So now you have to worry about Noah Short potentially going long on you on a pass. And you got a second burner that you can pitch the ball to. I mean, that's got to be a nightmare for defenses.
Put him on the same side.
Yeah. I saw T-Rob on the sidelines, jersey and sweatpants. And, you know, he looked like he was moving around fine. So obviously who knows what's going on. But interesting that he's on the 2D.
Imagine you're that defensive back that's getting blocked by Noah Short. And T-Rob is behind Noah Short on the pitch. And you get blocked 5 times in a row by Noah Short before he just, like, you know, puts a hand on you and then burns right by you. And he's got 15 yards of space.
I will say before he got hurt, I think T-Rob was definitely faster than Noah Short. I mean, that was 2 years ago, but still. All right, fact or fiction, running back Kanye Udo leads the team in rushing this week.
Ooh. I'm going to say fact on that just because I think with all the attention that Daly's getting, they're going to stuff that quarterback power. At this point,
if you're not keying on Bryson Daly as a defense coming into Mikey Stadium, I don't know what you're doing. I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I'll say fact on that.
I'm going to go fiction. I agree with you, Jordan, that they're going to be keen on Daly. I just don't think the solution to that is going to Udo. Like, the one good thing about ECU's defense is that their defensive line is very good. Their interior run defense is very good. So the way to beat keying on Daly is getting the ball to the perimeter often and quickly.
Mm, okay.
I'm going to say fact, but I will say that that's probably something that to consider. Like, if they're really attacking the quarterback, that's going to set the edge a lot better so they can pitch a lot more. We'll see what happens, though.
All right. I'm up. I'm going to take one from the Firsty Club. This is going to be controversial, but fact or fiction, 2024 Army is better than 1996 Army. Now, James and I were not old enough to watch football, so Rob and Dan, I will defer to your wisdom and your guidance on your thoughts on this.
It is very hard to say at this point in the season that is true. I will say, however, that I think this team would win that bowl game. That team, you know, in that bowl game, when they get down and, you know, they're trying to make the comeback in the last second and they're in a hurry up and they didn't really have weapons. You know, they were stuck with the triple option. They couldn't throw. They didn't really have things that they could do to get outside the base game plan. So that is what this team does better than that team. But in terms of, are they going to be within a missed 2-point conversion of beating Notre Dame? Like, I don't think I would bet that way, but we'll see.
Yeah.
I just pulled up the strength of record on the College Football Reference and ranked all Army seasons by strength of record. 2024 is the highest strength of record season since 1960, with the exception of 1968. So it's a 13.28, whatever that means. I don't know what the, you know, how that stat works. But for reference, 2024 so far is a 13.28. 1997 was a, let me pull it. Sorry, give me a second. Or excuse me, 1996 was an 8.49.
Yeah. Well, here's what I'll say. And that's really not a decent fact or fiction. The only reason why I say that is because, you know, football is relative. But what I will say is what I haven't seen from the 2024 team is a 96-yard drive against Navy to win the game. And so that's the biggest difference, is like the character and grit of the 96 team. We saw that on display more often than not. This current Army team has not had to have those gritty moments because they've just been ahead so much. So, you know, give me a gritty performance and maybe I can and change my perspective. But right now I would say it's a push, but you know, let's wait a little bit later in the season. If they beat Notre Dame, then it kind of, you know, answers the question on its own.
The difficult thing about this as a fact or fiction is that there's no way to prove it or disprove it. It's just an opinion. So, so unfortunately, Jordan had to drop off, but I want to highlight one more fact or fiction out of the Firstie Club from Corey. The 12th man shows up and we see multiple crowd-induced penalties on third and fourth down, false start, delay of game, etc. This is a sold-out game. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the stadium has been packed all freaking season. However, you only got three sides, not four. So fact or fiction, 12th man causes a bunch of penalties this week.
I'll say fact.
I'm cheating. I'm looking up how many penalties you see yet. Before I get there, I'll say fact, just so it's not cheating, but I'm interested now.
They draw plenty of penalties, but I couldn't tell you on which side of the ball. I've watched them several times.
They get penalized 7.3 times a game. It's tied for 98th in the FBS.
But how much of that is due to the 12th man, and how much of that is due to trying to run a play every 15 seconds?
Yeah. And it'll be hard to tell. Like, we're not going to know. I mean, I'm sure that I would say they're more susceptible to those kinds of penalties running a hurry up for sure. But as you say, how much do you attribute to the stadium noise?
I guess I'm going to say fiction from the standpoint that you've only got the three sides, and I'm not totally convinced that it's even going to be a close game. I just think we're probably going to get a close game, but there's two ways that this can be false versus, you know, having a nail biter of a game and the crowd's totally going nuts. I mean, could that happen? Yeah, it could totally freaking happen, but I'm not sure that's where I would put my money.
That's fair.
All right. So I wrote a new commercial for those of you who like this show, and it's how to help Azure football, because I noticed as I was going through our Twitter feed that we pick up like 10 followers a day, which is rad. And I know that folks who like Azure football tend to really, really like Azure football. So I just, you know, listen, it's not a condition of our friendship that you like read what we're doing or, you know, help us. But if you like what we're doing and you want to help us grow, I'd like to talk to you for just a second about how to do that. So we are growing, especially our written content has like really grown a lot this season. And a lot of folks read our stuff when they get our weekly mailer. Like 80% of you open that weekly mailer, and about slightly over half of those people are actually clicking through to get to articles. So that's awesome, which is why I say that if you like Azure football, you probably really like Azure football. So the easiest thing that you can do to help us, if you're interested in helping us, is mail that mailer to your friends who are not like on the Facey Spaces and Twitter. Because if you're an online Army fan, you've probably seen AFF. Like, we're out there, and I would hope that you could find us. But if you're not online, you have no way of finding us. And I meet folks who have never heard of us all the time at Army games. It's fine. My feelings aren't hurt, but you know, help us grow. If you want to, by sending our mailer to your friends who like football and don't give a crap about social media, which is, to be honest with you, the most healthy way you can live your life. So that's good. And we want to reach those people. And that's how you can help us. You know, along similar lines, obviously we have a Patreon. Patrons make up like 60% of our revenue. It's how we stay in business. We offer early articles for our patrons and our Firstie Club for our top level patrons. Like, we interact with them a lot. They come to tailgates. Like, these are people that we've gotten a chance to get to know that we could not do this without their support. So, you know, think about that and whatever that means. And that's it. I'll shut up. We got a favorite thing this week. Anybody? I put on there the Lambert Trophy, James, but you talked about it last night.
Yeah. If you do want to hear about it, go listen to the end of or listen to all of College Football Roundtable, and we'll have some more content on that next week. I guess other favorite things. Last week, gosh, we had Army beat Navy in men's soccer. Week before that, we had Army beat Navy in sprint football. They also won in golf. They also won in volleyball. And then this weekend, I think there are three stars, both of the cross country stars, and women's soccer are on Saturday. So
that soccer game was pretty intense. They scored with like a minute left or something crazy.
Yeah. Highest attended soccer game in the NCAA this year.
Yeah. Well, my favorite thing is just that we did Oktoberfest at our tailgate and it was rad. And if you missed us dressing up, I don't know how to help you, because that was fun. So anyway, I guess I'll just close it out. Let's see if you guys got anything to say before we go. All right. Beat ECU.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Big thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate, for supporting us and the Long Gray Line. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, reach out to Jocelyn. She's got your back. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share the show with your friends. And as always, beat Navy.